Awesome. Why don't you close your eyes with me? You could turn in your Bible. Actually, don't even turn anywhere yet. I'm going to keep you in suspense. But just close your eyes. Close your eyes and let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for your goodness, for your anointing, for your grace, for your spirit that is in this house. And mighty God, we just ask you to just breathe and roar over us today. Roar over your house today. Roar over your children today. Set the captives free today. Break the chains that bind us today. Break off the chains that bind us today, that are binding us in our emotions. Break the chains today, Father, I pray. And over our nation, and over our state, and over this region specifically, God, we stand here as believers in God, as ambassadors from heaven, and we take authority over the Eastern Sierras, and we command this place to shift. We command the smoke to blow out. We command the virus and any political agenda to blow out. Any demonic agenda to blow out in the name of Jesus. And we stand in our authority in this place. And God, we ask you to bless Mammoth Lakes. Bless Crowley Lake. Bless Bishop. Bless this entire region, Father. We pray for the blessing on businesses, blessing on churches, blessing on marriages, on families. We pray for the blessing and the protection of God to be upon this land, God. And we thank you and we pray a blessing over today. And speak to me, anoint my words, and speak to all of us, I pray, in the wonderful and in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many were here last week? Hey, buddy. It's awesome. He's going to do some Pentecostal laps around the building. Ever see that in a Pentecostal service sometimes? Somebody will just like, just feeling the Holy Spirit. They'll just get up and do like four laps. And you're just like, praise him. Oh, here he comes. Dun, dun, dun. Hallelujah. He's got the Holy Ghost. But last week we talked about something that the Lord put in my spirit. And it had to do with this man named Gideon. I could preach with kids. Sorry. It had to do with a man named Gideon. Everybody remember Gideon? Bam! I was like calf roping right there. Yeah. That was awesome. Becca gets a 10. So last week we were talking from Gideon, and the thing that the Lord, the message that he really gave me, if you remember, was really about the horn, the trumpet, and the fire. The trumpet and the fire. Say trumpet. Say fire. And we need the trumpet and the fire in our life, prophetically speaking. I believe it was a real picture of where we are as a church and where the Lord is taking us. And I didn't tell you the end of that story. It's so good. So they never didn't even have to get into a battle themselves, and they won. The enemy turned on themselves. It's a powerful thing. And the encouragement and the exhortation was, be ready for a new thing. Be ready for this new thing that God is doing, and don't expect it to look like it used to look. Don't expect a move of God to look like a past move of God. Don't expect a fresh move of God and a fresh blowing of the Holy Spirit to look like Azusa Street or even Bethel or even any movement that we love. Expect it to look fresh. Expect it to look new. Because when he says, I'm doing something new, that doesn't mean, oh, okay, perfect. You're doing something new. That means you're going to do it exactly like that church. No, that's not new. He didn't say, I'm doing something that you've already seen. I'm doing something that you have not seen. And that was a big deal to the children of Israel, because remember they talked about the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was a really big amazing. I mean, it's one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. It is phenomenal. Over 2 million people delivered. The sea split in two. I mean, it's amazing. Remember it, but don't live there. Why? Because there's something new. And there's a new Red Sea, but it's not going to be the Red Sea that you're thinking. There's some new waters that the Lord wants to part, but it's going to look different. Say different. And so last week it was all about the horn and the torch. I was joking around. I'm like, I feel like we're, it's a C.S. Lewis book or a Rick Joyner book or something. The torch and the trumpet. But today, I was kind of going along those lines that the Lord was just kind of ministering to me, speaking to me just about different symbols and the symbolism in the Word of God. And so I want to draw some stuff out of it today. I brought some fun examples with me. But I begin to think about what I will call the Christian tool bag. You know, we come to a job site. Jerry, if you got somebody working for you, they got their tools. And you have some very expensive tools, and they do million-dollar jobs, and they're, you have to have exact tools to do that job. You know, and what if I were to say, Jerry, I really want a job, and I just really want to work for you, and I have my tools. You know, and he's like, great. You know, come to the job site, and I come with this like tiny little hammer and a pencil, you know, and he's like, I'm sorry, that's not going to cut it. You know, why don't you go hang a picture in your house or something? We have to know the tools that God is requiring us to use in this season.
Come on. Yeah.
There are certain spiritual tools and there are certain things that God is wanting to equip us with right now in this time, in this hour. And so what are the tools that he has equipped us in our spiritual tool bag? And I was just thinking about this. I want to go over a couple of them. And I got a little tool bag here. And, you know, the Bible is very clear throughout the scriptures. It talks about what exactly the Word of God is. You see, the Word of God is many things. And it's like, this is like a tool belt. It is like your tool belt, and there's many things that the Word of God is described as, and it could be the chiropractic adjustment in your life. It could be your life, your heart, your emotions can feel so out of whack, and you begin to get into the specific promise and the Word of God, and it begins to crack your spirit and your soul into place. It is a chiropractic adjustment, and you can or a scalpel, the deep surgery. You know, you need deep surgery with a scalpel, not a sword. I don't want anybody, I don't want my surgeon. I had hernia surgery 2 years ago. I'm so glad they used a scalpel and not a sword. I'm really good with this. Do you mind if I cut you open? Sure, yeah. No, do not cut me open with a sword unless you're William Wallace. And still, please don't do that. 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about that very thing. I'll list some scriptures for you where I'm not going to read them. You can reference them later. But the Word of God is also a builder. It builds us up spiritually. It builds us up emotionally. It builds us up in every which way. You feel defeated. There's promises. There's something in your tool belt to literally build your spirit. You can build yourself up. It's the Word is a builder. The Word is a comforter. Say comforter. Can I get Dominic, can I just get you up here real quick? I wasn't going to do this, but just kind of feels right. So you can just sit right here. And I might throw some things at you gently. But think of Dominic is the believer in the Lord. And he has his tool belt. He knows what he needs to use. He's facing some adversity. There's things coming upon him, coming at him. And he's having a personal battle. And so he feels something has happened. Somebody's slimed him. And what does he need now from God's Word? He needs comfort. And the Bible actually says that the Word of God is comfort. It's comfort. Romans 15:4 says it is comfort. And it literally feels like it is, what's comfort to me? Comfort reminds me of a nice blanket that goes around you. a comforter. You know, when my kids, when my girls are afraid, when they're scared, when they're going through some stuff, they want their blankie. They want a comforter to me to wrap them up and to hold them in a comforter. This is what the Word does. This is what the Father does. He wraps you in comfort. But you have to know that that's available in your tool belt or you're never going to use it. And so there's comfort available. There's a chiropractic adjustment available. I'm not going to do anything to his back. There's a scalpel available. I'll let Justin do that part. There are things available. The Word of God, the Bible says in Jeremiah 23:29 that the Word of God is fire. That there is fire. If you need something burned out of your life, if you need fresh fire on your life, there is fire in the Word of God. There's fire in the presence of God. Come on. There is, and so the believer, as we sit, we don't have to go through COVID-19 and just say, oh, if you know, if it's your will, just do something for my life. No, you have to be proactive and you have to be intentional. If there is something that you need, you have to mine it out of the scriptures. It is fire. Do you need fire in your life? You know, many times we don't know where we're going, but there, the Bible says he is a light unto our path. And so it becomes, as you are walking in darkness, it becomes this flashlight. Hallelujah. We have a flashlight as a children of God. It is a lamp unto our feet. Psalm 119:105 says that it is the lamp. Hallelujah. What does it say? The Bible also talks about, I didn't bring this because it would not be too good, but it is milk. It is milk. It talks about the Word being milk in Hebrews 5 and 1 Peter 2. Talks about it being milk. We make a lot of things with milk. We make good sauces with milk. We make dressing with milk. Our children need milk to survive. Amen. So if you're in a season where you're feeling like, man, I just need some milk. I just need some nutrients. That the Bible says that it is milk. There is milk for you. But it is also meat. If you need a hearty meal, if you're feeling spiritually famished, then you begin to dig into God's promises, God's word, and there is a T-bone steak for our friend Dominic right here. There is a filet mignon, hallelujah. You know, there is the best cut of steak available in the scriptures, and you do not have to be looking like you're from Ethiopia spiritually. We can, but at the same time, a lot of people, we look like Chunk and Goonies. We look overweight spiritually because we have not given out. If you don't give out to people, you become overweight spiritually and you just want your Rocky Road ice cream. And you just feast on certain things. But God wants us to eat the Word, eat the milk, eat the honey, eat the meat, but give it back out. Give it out. As you've been freely given, give it to others. Amen? What else is the Word? And we're going somewhere with this. I just want to make this example. I like examples because it sticks in your mind. And visuals stick in your heart. They stick in your mind. I want you to remember this because you are equipped with everything that you need today. You're equipped because God has given you everything in the Word of God. And there are seasons in our life where we're feeling like we don't know who we are. What is my purpose? Well, the Bible says that the Word of God becomes like a mirror. It becomes like a mirror. You cannot know your purpose until you know who you are. And so you begin to shine the mirror. I love it what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Talks about the mirror, right? The Word of God is the mirror. And so you begin to get into His Word, feast on the promises of God, and then all of a sudden you begin to realize, I am a child of God. I am born in His likeness. I'm made in His likeness, in His image. I have His DNA flowing through my body. And you begin to realize who you are, and you begin to walk in your purpose. Amen? You know that you have a mirror. This is the Christian's tool belt. And it says it. It's all in the Word. What else is the Bible? The Bible and God's Word is, it's refreshing water. How many times have I felt thirsty? I've felt so thirsty, and I come into a worship service, or I come into God's Word. Hey, there you go. And I'm famished. I'm spiritually thirsty. And I lift my hands and I just begin to worship Him. And all of a sudden I just begin to, my thirst begins to get quenched. But then I begin to hunger and thirst for more. If you're thirsty today, there is water for you. He is the water of life. Amen. The Bible talks about the word being seed. That in your tool belt, in your bag, in your construction, Christian construction bag, there's a lot of things that are for self, and it's for self-care. And you need self-care. A lot of us do not focus on ourselves at all. We focus on everybody else's self-care, and we begin to die emotionally, spiritually, physically. And so you need self-care. And so a lot of these things that God has given us, a lot of promises are for self-care. But then the Bible and the Word of God is also seed. And so because God wants us to focus not only on our own condition in our heart, but He wants to begin us to turn and plant the seeds in people's hearts. The Word of God is seed. Like just Richard was saying, you begin to plant that seed and you expect that a harvest has come. You plant apple seeds and you don't have to worry about thorns and weeds coming up. When you plant apple seeds, apple trees are going to come. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Dominic. And I'm gonna focus on, I don't need him for my next two things. Maybe I'll bring you up again in a couple minutes. We'll see. you keep that water. But the last two things, I was looking at this list and I felt the Holy Spirit. Because there are two things in the Bible that the Word of God says His voice is, our prayers are, and His word is. And the first thing is a hammer. Say hammer. I love a good hammer. You know, like I said, you're not going to go to Jerry or any construction site with a little itty bitty hammer that you could just hang some pictures up in your house. You need a hammer that can do some work. You need a hammer that's gonna last, right? And it has some weight to it. But as cool as these hammers are and as great as these hammers are for building and for men that are called into the construction field, as great as these are, there is a greater hammer spiritually. Mm-hmm. And the hammer of the Lord is much different than this physical hammer. And the hammer of the Lord looks a little bit like this. Looks a little bit like, it's kind of supernatural. There is a supernatural element to the hammer of the Lord. And I want to talk about something that is found in the book of Nehemiah. And what I want to talk today specifically is what happened in Nehemiah's life and the two things that God really instructed and called Nehemiah and his people to pick up in a crazy time. Because I believe that we are now finding ourselves, whether you want to admit it or not, we are in chaos. We are. 2020 has been a year of turmoil. It's been a year of just crazy demonic activity. And just horrible things happening. And people losing their livelihoods and losing their jobs and losing their families, losing their marriages, losing their lives. The suicide rate has gone through the roof. Mental illness has gone through the roof. And it's totally demonic. And we find ourselves in a situation in the scriptures that you can always, nothing is new under the sun, right? You can always see yourself in the scriptures. Just as we did last week with Gideon. I find myself in Gideon's life. I can see myself in his story. But I could see ourselves. I could see our church. I could see our nation in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is such a beautiful story of where we are as a nation. And the walls were broken down. The Jerusalem, Judah was destroyed. The walls were totally annihilated and broken down. And we have this man named Nehemiah who was the cupbearer to the king. And the word gets back to Nehemiah that the city has been utterly destroyed. The walls have been broken down. They are in rubble. They are crumbled to the floor. There nothing remains. And the Bible says that Nehemiah, his heart began to break. And that he began to weep for 3 days. He began to weep and he began to pray and he began to fast for 3 days. Why? Because he didn't live there. He was doing pretty well as the cupbearer to the king. He was living in the palace. But this land had his heart. Because this is the land my fathers built. This is the land where my great grandfathers are buried. This is the land my ancestors built that wall. My people built that wall. My people were living there, and now their life has been left in ruins. And so this is the condition. He didn't deny the situation. And so sometimes I think as Americans we are in denial a lot of times of what is really happening. You don't have to be in denial. You can recognize what's happening. That's not a lack of faith. You can recognize what's happening, and you can weep, and you can cry, and you can be brokenhearted. But at some point, you have to come and pull yourself out of that and engage in the battle. And so he weeps, he cries, he prays, he fasts, and then he says, King, I need to go, and I need to be with my people. I need to go check out the walls, and can I go? And he says, yes, you can go down there. And he goes down, and he observes the land, and he walks around the land, And this is such an incredible story, because here we are in America. We've been thrown 1.5 million curveballs in 2020. I mean, literally everything. Somebody was listing. I mean, there's the big things, the virus and all this stuff. But there has been so many things that has happened in this year alone that has caused people's faith to get a little bit shaken. That have caused people's families and businesses and their emotions to be pretty shaken. So many deaths and so many wars and so many fires. I mean, it started, if you remember, and it's not even just about America. It's about the world. But it started in January, the worst fires that Australia had ever seen. And so it was like destroying part of their nation, wreaking havoc on Australia. And it just began to go from there. It was just like one thing after the next. And by the time it got to murder hornets, I was just like, oh my gosh. Okay, when is Godzilla coming? Just bring it on. So it was just so many things kept happening. And it literally began to feel like the church's walls were getting broken down. I don't know if you felt that, with all the pressure from states and different political leaders, governors that were, forcing churches to shut their doors and forcing us to do this and forcing us to do that. And it was as if we were being led into captivity, like the, and like Babylon. And we're just being led this way. And we're just like sheep to the slaughter. And not in the good sense, not like Christ. But I just begin to really get blessed by this story of Nehemiah, because he came to these ruins, and in the midst of ruins, he began to dream. In the midst of broken down walls, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of his people weeping and confused and angry and turning on each other, he began to stand and he began to pray and he began to dream. And I think it takes great faith to stand in a situation that seems hopeless, that seems incredibly chaotic, and to begin to dream. It doesn't take any faith when you're on the mountaintop to dream. It doesn't take any faith when, everybody's getting slain in the spirit, when the church is 10,000 and, you have to have faith, but it does take faith. But I'm just saying, in the midst of brokenness, to look with the eyes of faith, as so many did in the scriptures, this is faith. This is the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. Amen. And so he looks, he dreams, and he begins to get real strategy from heaven on what they are to do. And the first thing that Nehemiah tells them in chapter 3, verse 28, he says, I want you to go beyond the horse gate, I want the priest to make repairs, each in front of his own house. That scripture alone has ministered to me a lot over the years. I've even said it here, several years ago. I've read that scripture. But this is really more important now, I think, than it ever was years gone past, because of our condition, our spiritual condition, our government condition, everything that's happening right now, I feel like the Lord is saying, build what's in front of you. Build back up that wall that's in front of you. Focus on something that has been left in desolation and destruction and ruins. That thing that is right in front of you, maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a relationship with a child. Maybe it's your own heart condition. Maybe it's an addiction. Whatever it is, focus on that wall, because there's something that's been broken down that is allowing the enemy to have an access point. If we have broken down walls, then the enemy can slither in, and we have a house full of snakes instead of a house full of glory. But when you have the walls built up and the walls are established and the kingdom of God can invade a place, there ain't no snakes. There's eagles. There's glory. And that's what we want in this place. But he says, build what's in front of you before anything else. Build you, all of us. Build what's in front of you. That's personal. And they begin to do this. And I love that they didn't look at what they didn't have. They didn't look at their neighbor. They didn't look at that. Oh man, that guy has like two sons helping him. That's messed up. I don't have anybody. Or, oh, that guy's way ahead of me. He didn't have as much wall broken down. I wish I was in that property. No, just focus on this. If you can focus on this, however big or however small, then we begin to get stronger together. Because if we're individually stronger, see, it's about a strong heart, then a strong family, then that leads to a strong church, and a strong church will lead to a strong nation. If there is a weak church, it's because there's a weak family. And if there's a weak church, then our nation is going to go to hell in a handbasket, right? We need a strong family. We need strong hearts personally. We need a strong church. And it starts with building what's in front of you. Hallelujah. Yay, God. So they begin to do this, and it's just like the enemy. You know the enemy comes in. As soon as we begin to build, expect it. Expect resistance. Expect slithering snakes. Like if you begin to build for the kingdom, if you begin to focus on your heart and focus on whatever, you know, freedom, moving into realms of freedom like you've never gone into, moving into realms of intimacy with your spouse and intimacy with the King of Kings, expect a little bit of resistance. And that's exactly what happens. So the enemy starts conspiring. They say, oh, we're going to take them out. We're going to kill them. They're nothing. And they're mocking them. They're laughing at them. And who do they think they are? And they're going to come and destroy Nehemiah and his people. And they're conspiring against them. And then that's what happens. And sometimes it happens differently. It could happen through a close friend or somebody that loves you and you love them, but maybe they say something and the spirit behind it just wounds you. And then you just say, well, what am I doing? Why did I even attempt to do that anyway? And they don't even realize that their word came and just pierced your heart. Or they did realize it. Yeah, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But we have to be ready for that to happen. And be on the offense. And this is what I love about the book of Nehemiah. And so he starts talking to his people now. Listen to this. This is where it really gets good. And I'm going to bring in my sword and my hammer. And so he says, I looked and arose. And I said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid. Say, do not be afraid. Remember the Lord. Say, remember the Lord. Great and awesome. And fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your houses. Come on, that is a powerful statement. Fight for your home. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your brethren. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing. Hallelujah. And that all returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So that it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half carried spears, shields, bows, war armor. And the leaders were behind the house of Judah. But this is the good part. Verse 17. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand. Dominic, I need your help. Come up here, brother. I got a microphone in my hand. Those who built on the wall, and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked hard at construction, and with the other hand they carried the sword. Hallelujah. With one hand they carried the hammer. And there's a hammer. They probably had a building kind of hammer like this. But what we are to carry in the Spirit looks so much more than just a construction hammer. We have, don't mess with him. We have the hammer of the Lord. I'm going to read just three more verses. Just hold those there for the visual. Every one of the builders had his sword girded to his side as he built. And one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Come on. We need those to blow the trumpet, the worship, cry out to the Lord. That is in our tool belt also, the trumpet. We cry out to Him when you don't know what to do, when you're feeling defeated, when you're feeling hopeless, cry out to the Lord. Let your voice be as of a trumpet and call on the name of the Lord. Amen. They girded themselves, the sound of the trumpet. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another. On the wall, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, and our God will fight for us. Can you say hallelujah, amen? That's awesome. Okay. Amen. You see, building the wall. Listen to this. Listen how powerful this is. The people of God were feeling discouraged. They were in a COVID-19 times a million. They were feeling incredibly discouraged. But one man came with vision. One man came and rallied the troops. And all of a sudden, the discouragement left the land. Fear left the land. And renewed vision came into God's people. You see, the Bible says where there is no vision, we begin to stumble all over ourselves. We perish without vision, without prophetic revelation, one scripture states. We need the encouragement of the Lord. We need the vision of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so while he came with vision, he came as a dreamer, and all of a sudden those that were in exile begin to come back. And they begin to build, and their relationship with the Lord begin to get renewed. They begin to open the book of the law, and they begin to read the scriptures for the first time in a long time. And they begin to remember who they were as the people of God. You see, it's when vision returns to God's people that health returns to our land. And the enemy wants to take healthiness, and he wants to take vision out of our hearts so that we're stumbling in the dark. We forget that we have a flashlight. We forget that we have a hammer. We forget that we have a sword. He wants us to walk around aimlessly. But when we have vision, then the land will prosper. Amen. See, the book of the law was brought out and the people renewed their covenant. Hallelujah. They renewed their covenant. Don't you love this sword? I'm going to pick that back up in just a second. But the hammer, I love the hammer. The hammer of the Lord, it says in Isaiah, we're almost done. I know it's almost 12. Just hang with me for a few more minutes. Patrick, you can come up. Isaiah 41, verse 7. This is talking about the hammer. It says, so the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes with the anvil, saying, it is ready for soldering. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Jeremiah 51:20, you are my battle axe. Look at your neighbor and say, you are my battle axe. You are my battle axe. For with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. That's more than just a little construction hammer. That is a supernatural hammer, as if you would see in the movie Thor. Somebody's going to take a picture and they're like, that church mountain is weird. Like, a pastor was holding up a big hobbit sword and Thor's hammer. This is what it is like in the spirit. Hallelujah. See, the hammer is... it's very prophetic. And it's very significant because the hammer is used to build things. And the hammer is used to break things. And we have to realize that God has placed in your hand a hammer so strong, so powerful, that you can literally send shockwaves through the nation as you begin to lift your voice. As you begin to pray, it's almost in that scene at when Thor takes his hammer and slams it on the ground and ripples go through the land. That's what happens when you begin to pray. That's what happens when you begin to speak the word out. It is not this like little thing that has no significance. It is powerful, and you are powerful, but you have to realize what you're holding. A moment in history, a moment in time where this very thing happened is on October 31st, 1512, was it? 1515? It was the Great Reformation, Martin Luther. And it was on Halloween. I don't celebrate Halloween. I celebrate Reformation Day. On the Great Reformation Day. See, but he had some questions in his heart and in his spirit because there was so much heresy. And God said to Jeremiah, I'm going to use you like a hammer to break things apart. It breaks false teaching. Your prayers, your words begin to break lies, false statements, accusations, things that have been put out by the enemy, things that have been put out by false teachers. We don't fight with that person, but we get the hammer of the Spirit. We begin to speak God's word, and it slams that thing and breaks it in two. And this is what Martin Luther did. Martin Luther searched the scriptures, and he said, I got some questions. There's some big questions I have with the Catholic Church right now. And I'm just going to nail them to the door. And as he did that, it was so prophetic, pounding truth into heresy, pounding the truth that literally shook and rocked the world from that day forward. And we were never the same, to the glory of God. When you get your truth and when you figure out what God's word truly says, you use it as a weapon. You use it as a hammer to break the enemy's lies. The enemy says, you're a no good nothing going nowhere. You're a failure. You're going to be just like your dad. You're going to be just like your grandpa. You're going to fail. You're going to fail in business. You're going to fail in this. You're going to fail in that. No, you realize who you are in the scriptures and you begin to pound that thing free. You begin to pound that chain off. You don't have to work hard. This thing is supernatural. And you begin to come into people's lives. There are people in our lives that are so bound. And they're in captivity to the lies of the enemy. They're in captivity to the lies of our culture. To political lies. And you won't have to put, we don't put on our boxing gloves with them. See, many would like to have a pair of boxing gloves in here. Put on my MMA gloves. I'll have a good political fight with you. Come on. And we can knock our opponent out. But that is not what is needed. There was a person in this church who was vehemently against everything that I stood for in the last election cycle. But I just heard them out. And I just prayed. And many prayed. And something supernatural happened. I can't even explain it any other way, but something shifted when you take the hammer in the spirit and say, break that lie. Break that lie, Father God. Break the lie and the deception in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm scaring somebody. It's just, I get excited about this stuff because I hate seeing people bound. I hate seeing people bound by the lies of the devil. Amen. He does too. And that, so this hammer, God wants you, well, he wants to place in your hand today a hammer. But you have to access it. I'm almost done. I'm sorry. I'm going way over. And then the other thing is the sword. We have the sword of the Spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. We know the famous scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Hebrews 4, 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, hallelujah. This is powerful stuff. And you're like, well, give me an example of somebody in the Bible that really used the sword of the Spirit. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus. I love the sword of the Spirit. I love what Paul taught us to do with the sword of the Spirit. I love what Jesus taught us indirectly, but he taught it with his life. When he walked up to the fig tree and he cursed it. He cursed that fig tree with his words. See, his words were a sword. His words were powerful, and it cut that thing down. And it bore no fruit for after that moment, right? Jesus said, I rebuke the wind and the waves. His words became the sword, and he began to slice down. The waves can't hear him. Waves can't understand him. They don't have emotions. But that was Jesus using his authority, using his sword. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus! Come forth. The sword of the Spirit, cutting death. Cutting death. Dealing with a spirit of death. And the thing that God really began to speak to me, and why I feel this message is so powerful and so relevant for this time, with all of the tools. See, there's personal, there's self-care. Don't knock it. Use it. Use everything that God has for you in the Word of God. But the thing that is so powerful to me is that all of this, the hammer, the sword, the comfort, the flashlight, the mirror, the torch, the trumpet, everything in the Word of God is voice activated. Everything in God's Word is voice activated. This was the original Alexa. Alexa, please play something. I don't know. But when we do not use our mouth, when we do not use our tongue, these are just shiny little instruments, shiny little tools that look so nice and they hang on our mantle and they look so pretty. But until you begin to use them and you begin to activate the Word of God with your mouth, as it says in these great scriptures like Mark 11:23, I'm almost done. Mark 11:23, for surely I say to you, whatever you say, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Somebody say amen. So your tongue, look, read the book of James. It talks a lot about the tongue. Your tongue controls your destiny. Your tongue controls your destiny, and it will establish the condition of life that you're going to live. Your tongue will determine the quality of life that you want to live on this earth. That's a good word. Daniel, remember Daniel? How many love the book of Daniel? There's probably one of the best lines in the book of Daniel in all of Scripture. And I'm coming in for a landing, I promise you. Book of Daniel, one of the best scriptures in all of the Bible, says this. Daniel 10, chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Somebody say, my words have power. The angel, like you, Let's put some angelic assistance in this little tool bag. You need some angelic assistance. They are coming when you begin to speak. They are coming when you begin to pray. They are standing guard and waiting for believers, sons and daughters of God, to say, warring angels be dispatched to the White House. Warring angels be dispatched to Crowley Lake, to Mammoth Lakes, to my family's house, to my daughter's life. Warring and ministering and worshiping angels be dispatched. We put you on assignment. And one can put 1,000 to flight, but your word says that two will put 10,000 to flight, God. And so we thank you for 10,000 angels circling this church, circling our land, circling our hearts, circling this property, circling our families, circling this nation. 10,000 plus 10,000 times 10,000, God. Let the angels be dispatched and released. And God, just as Elijah prayed for his servant and the eyes were open, I pray our eyes would open in the spiritual realm. That we would see that we're not alone. That there is a company of warring angels behind us. There is a company of warring angels that are fighting for us. God, we are not alone. I thank you. Hallelujah. He says, your words are the reason I've come here today. Thank you, Father. And lastly, I want to read this scripture in Jeremiah. I think this is so powerful and potent. Jeremiah is dealing and wrestling with some stuff personally. And the Lord has to speak to him and remind him. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you. I love that. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That means I understood you. I understood you. He understands you. He understands your gifting. He understands your quirkiness. He understands what makes you excited. He understands what makes you mad. He understands you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, oh Lord, I can't speak. I'm just a youth. And the Lord said to me, do not say I'm just a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send you. Whatever I command you, you're going to speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And he said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Thank you, Father. You are called with a great purpose. God wants to use you in this land, in this time, in this hour, to rip down, to break down the lies of the enemy, and to begin to build that wall that's in front of you. Begin to build the kingdom of God. Begin to build God's house. Begin to build a nation. I believe we're just on the verge of a great, great move of God. A great, great move of God. I was listening to a prophetic word the other night. There was a great testimony of Lester Summerall was sharing of when Smith Wigglesworth prayed over him. If you haven't heard it, I actually posted it on my Facebook. It's so powerful. Lester Summerall is one of my heroes, and I just so love and honor that man's faith and life. And he had a moment in his personal journey where he got to spend 2 years with Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith, at the end of their time, you know, Lester had to leave England because World War II was on the verge of happening, and he had to come back to America. And so Smith prays for him and he lays hands on him and he begins to prophesy about the coming move of God. That it was going to be more powerful than anybody has ever seen or experienced in all church history. And he begins to list things very systematically about dead being raised, about all the stuff that the glory of God was going to fill nations, not just nation, but nations. And that we weren't going to be able to pinpoint it to a local and a specific spot because it was a global outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that is almost the same word that God released through Bob Jones right before this whole chaotic season began to happen to us. I remember about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. When the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, you're going to see the glory of God hit America. We're all like, something hit America. But it's happening. It's going to happen. There's resistance. Just because resistance comes doesn't mean the promise isn't right there. So just buckle your seatbelt. This is a good roller coaster ride, and God is with us. Hallelujah. Why don't you close your eyes? Let's pray. And if you need to go, you are released. God bless every person in this room. I pray, Lord, seal this word in our spirits and our hearts. I thank you, God, that you have equipped us with everything that we need for such a time as this. You have equipped us to be builders. You have equipped us to be warriors. You have equipped us to be spiritually and emotionally healthy. You have equipped us to love the lost, to love the broken, to love the hurting. You have equipped us. And we just give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And I just pray for a holy anointing on every person in this room. God, that they would, I just pray, put your hands in front of you right now as if you are receiving something. I want you to picture yourself receiving the hammer of the Lord. I want you to picture yourself receiving the sword of the Spirit. You got to see it before you can wield it. You got to see it in your hands before you can begin to build with it, before you can begin to fight with it. You got to see and understand that you own it, that it's yours. And so, God, I just ask you right now, in the Spirit, put a sword in their hand. Put a hammer in their hand. And for the one that feels discouraged, and for the one that feels alone, for the one that feels broken and humiliated, I pray, Lord, put that nice blanket upon their shoulders. Lord, that they would feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They would feel the comfort of your word, the tenderness of a good, good father. Lord, your love and your embrace sets us free. Just the embrace of a good dad will set you free. So God, I just pray right now over every heart in this room. Do a deep work. Do a deep work. Oh, rabashe kela da vosse predisciata. Eh, rabasso cude rabassande redivisciato. Oh, rabande redisci carrando supra dande redivisciando rodovosciata. Eh, sacala bosce te la bande rete bosse candi. Eh, sacabro dosce chi bradande redivosso cobra data. Eh, rosse chi da dande rete bocca di brata. I pray for the deep working of the Spirit right now. Yondo shida mando bossete da bassa. Yondo do 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 boshita la 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 bassi anda. Yorra masala nikete roboshe da botobra disi anda. Ehi, kambando bote brinchi disi alla basso co. Orre basce che la basso combra dande le divisi andorra. Ehi, ha ha ha. Yo, britisi andara da bossa. Ehi, brondo sheke la mando bosso britisi. Hallelujah. For I am calling you my warrior, says the Lord. I am calling you my builder, says the Lord. I am calling you for such a time as this. I feel the Holy Spirit saying, I have called you for such a time as this. I have equipped you with everything that you need for such a time as this. And so embrace this season that the Lord has called you into. Embrace this time. Embrace the season and the timing of the Lord. For your life, His grace is with you. His calling is upon your life. His anointing is with you. Father, I thank you for a new season. And let it shift in all of us right now. In the name, in the name, in the name, in the name. Hallelujah. Jerry, come up here.
You know, when Mike was praying right there, I felt like the Lord said that in 1 hour, I'm going to free a nation. That my people have been in captivity and been overshadowed by religion and a demonic authority that has tried to come into their lives and tell them this and tell them that and take away their promise. But in 1 hour, I will give them back their promise. And not only will I give them back their promise, but I will give them the strength to overcome every obstacle in their life. You think you've had the strength, but you haven't. Because you've been lied to, you've been deceived, you've been crippled and wounded by things in your life that you thought you couldn't overcome anymore, because it's been an over and an over. It's been a tempest. It's been a wave. It's been something that you were looking at and it seemed so big that you couldn't overcome it. But I'm telling you, I am your Father and you are my children, and there is nothing that you can't overcome. Because when I'm with you, remember this, my children. Remember right now. This is important. That when you speak, there's authority in your voice. Remember, when you use my word, I release my angels on behalf of it, because I watch over my word. And it will not return unto me void. It is mine. And you have the name above it. Jesus Christ, the Lord. And this is the mark.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Just close your eyes. Why don't you stand? If you need to leave, you are released. God bless you. But for those who want to hang out for just a few more minutes, let's just stand and close your eyes. And Patrick's going to just sing this song over you. I just see in this, thank you, Jerry, that was so good. I see in the Spirit a lot of people feeling spiritually weak, feeling spiritually like Pee Wee Herman. How can I do this? How can I ever defeat this thing? How can I ever build what's in front of me? How can I ever make any ground? And you feel spiritually weak, but the Lord right now, as you focus your eyes on Him, as you turn your attention to Him, He's reminding you of who you are. And that picture is being thrown in the garbage. You are not a Pee Wee Herman. I want you to picture yourself as a William Wallace. You are a fighter. You are a warrior. You are a builder. You carry the gifts of the Spirit. You are called. You are equipped. You have the anointing of God upon your life. And so I just let the Lord replace that image. And you are a warrior. You are a William Wallace in God's army. You carry the sword. You carry the torch. You carry the hammer. You carry the trumpet. You carry whatever is needed. And so let's just sing to the Lord. Yes.
I've had something the whole service, but Lord's showing me the whole service that not only is He showing us who we are, but He's given each of us a land. He's given us our own land. And that the enemy has come in and tried to invade it. And God wants us each to know that our land that He has given us is our land, and it's nobody else's. And that you take the tools that He gives you, you take the authority that He gives you, and you retake the land, and you build your land, and don't receive and accept the lie that it is somebody else's land that's coming to invade and take it from you.
Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. So just lift your hands for a few minutes, and we're going to sing. And I think the Lord really seals works and seals words in the presence of worship, in the context of worship. And so let's just lift your hands for just 2 or 3 minutes, and let's just worship the Lord.
In the crushing, in the pressing, You are making new wine. In the soul I now surrender, You are breaking new ground. So I yield to You and to Your careful hand. When I trust You, I don't need to understand. Make me Your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever You want me to be. came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. 'Cause where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new freedom, the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flame to carry your new fire today. Today, 'cause where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new freedom, the kingdom is here. I lay down my old claims to carry your new fire today. Fire, fall down your fire. Fall down on us, we pray. As we seek your fire, fall down your fire. Fall down on us, we pray. As we seek your fire, fall down your fire. Fall down on us, we pray. As we seek your fire, fall down your fire. Fall down on us, we pray. Show me your heart. Show me your way. Show me your glory, God. Show me your heart. Show me your way. Show me your glory. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In our everyday, in our homes, Lord, at work, oh God, let it fall on us. Let it fall on us in our everyday. moment by moment, Lord, fall on us. We look to you, God. We look to you. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Use us, God. Have your way in us. In everything. Thank you, God, that you're with us, Lord. That you are for us. Fill us up, God. Send us out. Use us for your glory. Be lifted high in us, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.